Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, Hunter Biden is under federal investigation for money laundering, and his father might be under investigation as well. That and so much other breaking news here on the Saturday episode brought to you advertiser-free by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. We are crisscrossing the country, giving speeches, spreading the message to get our president elected for 4 more years. There's a call to action in this episode that includes you taking out your phone and texting all of your friends the reason why you are supporting President Trump. If every person listening to this podcast did this right now, we would win the election in a landslide. That's right. If every person texted every person in their phone, that's how you move the dial. That's how you circumvent the big tech oligarchs. Take out your phone, do it now, make the argument, let's get our president elected. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's time to win. We are working our tail off. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
We are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job.
We are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. Our values, our security, and our future are on the ballot. Every American deserves to have their voice heard and their vote counted. So visit yourvote2020.org to find your polling location. Get to the polls, cast your ballot. Visit yourvote2020.org because your voice, your values, your vote have never been more important. Paid for by America First Policies, Inc.
Hunter Biden and associates are under an active FBI criminal investigation. We did not know this 24 hours ago at our last broadcast. James Rosen, reporting for Sinclair, reports the FBI opened an investigation into Hunter Biden in 2019 for money laundering and that the probe remains active. Rosen interviewed Tony Bobulinski, the former business associate of Hunter Biden, who claimed the former vice president knew of Hunter's Chinese and Ukrainian operations and suggested received kickbacks from the group. Let's play cut two so you hear it yourself. Play cut two.
A Justice Department official has confirmed to Sinclair that the FBI opened up a criminal investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates back in 2019, focused on allegations of money laundering, and that the probe remains active.
Remains active. Hunter Biden and associates. Well, his associates would obviously also be Joe Biden, his chairman or the big man. And so there's an active criminal FBI investigation into the son of the leading presidential candidate, the person that is allegedly up in the polls, and zero media coverage from any of the activist media. Axios.com, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, CNN, not covering the fact that the FBI is actively investigating and is actively looking into money laundering when it comes to the Biden family. We are a couple days out from the election, everybody. You think that would probably be good information for swing voters to know that the leading presidential candidate, Joe Biden, has an active FBI investigation into him? With his son, I should say. The silence from the media on this demonstrates more than we have ever seen how complicit they are in trying to reelect Joe Biden. I want you to imagine that Eric Trump or Don Jr. or Ivanka yesterday were revealed to be investigated, interrogated by the, not necessarily interrogated, but their associates being interviewed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Do you think the New York Times would cover that? Do you think the New York Times would cover the fact that the Trump campaign, the Trump family, was being investigated for money laundering? Front page of the New York Times. People who didn't vote in 2016 are turning out in droves. In Texas, most have voted early, more than the state's entire 2016 turnout. Florida could decide the election, and counting is already underway. nothing about Hunter Biden at all. Nothing. This is groundbreaking news and new revelations that show that there's an active criminal Federal Bureau of Investigation complaint against the Biden family. Now, whether or not that materializes in anything, we'll see. We kind of know how the way things work in this country, which is Democrats are able to violate the rules and the laws and get away with it without any sort of recourse or being held accountable. And so don't you think this is something that probably Joe Biden should have to answer for? Remember, Joe Biden last week said, there's nothing going on with my son. Well, no, actually, we know now, confirmed by Department of Justice sources and confirmed by Tony Bobulinski, they met with Tony Bobulinski for 6 hours yesterday, and five agents did that. Do you think that they would meet for 6 hours if there was no merit to the idea that the Bidens have been selling out our country and potentially engaging in blatant and total money laundering? We have seen the activist media investigate whether or not Ivanka Trump's son built the Lego castle that she mentioned in her RNC speech. I was with Donald Trump Jr. hunting in Montana 3 years ago when we were hunting prairie dogs, which is nothing more than vermin. And the activist media came out and said, Donald Trump Jr. is shooting lactating dogs, which of course was completely and pathologically untrue. They sent out a reporter to try to investigate why Don Jr. would shoot prairie dogs. I remember back in 2016, on my own personal capacity, I was traveling the country with Donald Trump Jr. in Mesa, Arizona, and we saw a woman who had her car stalled on the side of the highway. Myself, Tommy Hicks, Gentry Beach, and Don Jr. pushed the car to, I guess you call it safety or off the on-ramp, because she needed help. I filmed it, went viral, had over 50 million views, and the activist media sent a reporter to interview her to ask if it was staged. Throughout the entire impeachment nonsense, we had to hear from Vindman, we had to hear from all the different people testifying about every intricacy of a singular phone call by President Trump. And the House still moved to impeach President Donald Trump. The Senate quickly moved to acquit him. Throughout the entire Mueller investigation, President Donald Trump was under forensic examination for every single business deal, every conversation, every person he met with. And the activist media was using the push notifications through Apple News to propagandize young people across the country as if there's a criminal cloud over the Trump administration, which there isn't. But now that there's a legitimate criminal cloud over the person who could become president of the United States on Tuesday, the activist media is worse than being silent. They are producing cover fire for the Biden campaign. And what they're doing is so incredibly immoral, they are engaging in one state Pravda and propaganda. Maybe just a mention on any one of these networks. Oh, by the way, Hunter Biden and his associates are currently have an open and ongoing investigation from the FBI. That's probably something that swing voters should know about, that the Biden family could be indicted at any moment, could be charged with money laundering and criminal conspiracy. And that all comes from Tony Bobulinski, the former partner of Hunter Biden, who has revealed this. I read this ridiculous article last evening on the front page of Real Clear Politics, which is, "Don't sweat it, Biden is going to win," which was the essence of his piece, essentially that believe the polls, they're all right. And this is by a guy named Derek Thompson in The Atlantic. And I'm going to read one part of this article for you. It's so stunning. In 2016, we had the mother of all October surprises. In 2020, we have the most stable race in decades. This is a guy that's published in The Atlantic. The most stable race in decades, after the laptop of Hunter Biden gets discovered, revelations about equity shares for the big man get revealed. He says that in 2016, we had the letter from Comey that shows that Hillary Clinton was possibly under FBI investigation. We now know that the Biden family is under FBI investigation. And the way the media covers it is not to discount it, not to discredit it. Instead, they say, I don't even think this exists. This is not any form of a problem. We are going to pioneer ahead. There is no famine. There is just a feast. That's an old Soviet phrase. When people were starving in the countryside, the Soviet Union, Pravda, would say, there's no famine again this year. It's a wonderful harvest. And the people in the urban city would say, okay, we buy it. This is the type of outright propaganda that the activist media has decided to engage in. So what does this mean for the race? No one should vote for Joe Biden, period. But anyone that is voting for Joe Biden that now knows that the Biden family is completely and totally involved in a criminal conspiracy is putting their name behind that. Glenn Greenwald resigned from The Intercept yesterday. And the way that the left is framing it is that Glenn Greenwald throws a fit. His resignation is mostly because, as he puts it, it has now become impossible for him to criticize Joe Biden within the organization he co-founded. Let's play cut 10 of Glenn Greenwald talking about the state of journalism. And remember, for those of you that are just joining us right now, Hunter Biden and associates, which could be the chairman, big man, could be the soon-to-be president of the United States, is under an active FBI investigation for money laundering. Play cut 10.
Premise of the news outlet, the core overarching premise, the reason it was created was to ensure that journalists would always have complete journalistic independence and editorial freedom, never have to pull punches journalistically or pay homage to pieties because of the preferences, the partisan or ideological preferences of editors or of anybody else. That was the core founding idea and vision. And then that is what makes it so amazing that at the very outlet that I co-created, that was built on my reputation, my credibility, my journalistic accomplishments, then tried to intervene to censor me 6 days before an election because I wanted to publish reporting and analysis about the evidence that raises serious questions about the conduct of the candidate that all of the editors at that outlet vehemently and enthusiastically support.
Glenn Greenwald tweeted, my resignation from The Intercept, the same trends of repression, censorship, plaguing the national press generally have engulfed the media outlet I co-founded, culminating in censorship of my own articles. We know this. We talk about the American left quite often. They do not want speech. They do not want anyone to be able to have the capacity or the freedom to criticize differing ideas. And this is very dangerous for our civilization. The activist media, they hate Donald Trump so much. Not will they just misrepresent what's happening, they refuse to allow any form of criticism to the person that is currently challenging President Trump. Joe Biden is a corrupt, alleged money laundering criminal alongside his son. The FBI has now told us this. They're looking into it. You don't sit down with Tony Bobulinski for 5 or 6 hours just to try to figure out Tony Bobulinski's preference in the 2020 election. The reason they sat down for multiple hours, that this is an ongoing, active, is the word they used, criminal investigation. And what are they investigating? They're investigating whether or not Joe Biden and Hunter Biden used their family name to try and sell access to the White House, to try to sell access from foreign governments into our government. And so, wouldn't this have been helpful information to know 5 or 6 months ago? If the FBI even just opens a case file into a Republican, it gets leaked instantaneously to the New York Times or the Washington Post. Why are we just learning about this now? Why are we just learning about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden being under an active investigation? Now, we don't know if Joe Biden is, but and associates, we can infer that Joe Biden's an associate of Hunter Biden. That we can easily and comfortably confirm. Let's play cut 13 of Hunter Biden on an audio recording that says, and this is from the National Pulse, they've been doing an amazing job, I have to say. It's incredible. That, quote, he's getting phone calls from the Southern District of New York and the U.S. attorneys that his father was listed as a witness in a criminal case. Play cut 13.
I am receiving calls from the Southern District of New York, from the U.S. attorney himself. My best friend in business, Devin, has named me as a witness without telling me. In a criminal case, and my father, without telling me.
Yeah, that's right, Hunter. You are the subject of a criminal investigation, probably from the Southern District of New York, and also from the Department of Justice Federal Bureau of Investigation. There are tens of millions of people that have already voted for this crime family. There are tens of millions of people that are close to putting this family back in the Oval Office. If the polling is correct, these people are back in business. If the polling is correct, the Bidens will then use the power, will use the access that was within the executive branch. They'll reassign the agents that are looking into their money laundering. They'll fire the ones they don't like. They'll throw a little smoke screen, a little more Russian disinformation, Russian dossier, like they did against Trump, and it will all disappear. I'm getting so many questions from people. What does this poll mean? Is Trump really down 27 points in this state? Well, that was a California poll, so he's probably down 27 points in California. However, let's just take the Real Clear Politics average of polling, and then let's just kind of dismiss some of the polling conversation for the time being. So, for example, they say that Biden is up 1.2 points in Florida, according to the Real Clear Politics polling average. 3.1 points in Pennsylvania. Let's just take that at face value. You go poll by poll. For example, let's just go to the Pennsylvania polls. The poll right here that shows Donald Trump up to insider advantage, or the poll that shows Donald Trump down 5 in the Reuters poll. The margin of error for some of these polls is 5.5 to 6 points. Trump is well within the margin of error, well within it. And you look at 2012 when Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney, he was trailing in many polls going into Election Day. Now, the methodology and the pool of which people are actually polling is getting harder and harder to get an accurate scientific observation of exactly where people are going. So a much better way to analyze where the race is headed is actually early voting numbers. How exactly are Republicans doing in early voting? The answer, historically well. Republicans have just slashed the early voting lead for Democrats in Arizona by half. Democrats are only up 26,496 votes statewide, and Republicans are gaining steam at a record pace. How about in Florida? Front page of Politico says that Democrats are sounding the alarm for record low voter turnout in Miami-Dade County, and Republicans are surging to the polls. How about in Texas? Texas, more people have already voted in the state of Texas than all of 2016. Who is voting? Republicans have a 10.16% advantage of people that have already voted in Texas. Not to mention, West Texas has yet to show up in massive numbers, and West Texas is going to go 80-20 for Donald Trump, maybe even more, especially with the recent revelations of Joe Biden saying he's going to end natural gas and end fracking and end energy development as we know it. One of my favorite political prognosticators, he's kind of a jerk, to be honest with you. And I agree with him on basically nothing. However, he understands the Midwest very well. He's a Michigan guy. He predicted Donald Trump's rise in 2016. He predicted his victory. And he is more in tune with the Midwestern Rust Belt iron worker, steel worker, the people in the muscular class than any sort of pollster ever would be. Let's play cut 5 of Michael Moore saying something that is awfully contrarian to what people are saying on television. Play cut 5.
It's awful news that Biden is ahead by 7 points in Michigan. Hmm. And I have to fight against this constantly. I need to remind people that the poll back in July said at that point that Biden was ahead in Michigan by 16 points.
Right.
Trump has cut that in half. Trump has tightened virtually every one of these swing states.
And let's play cut six, where Michael Moore continues by saying, don't believe the polls.
Listen, don't believe these polls, first of all. And second of all, the Trump vote is always being undercounted. Pollsters, when they actually call a real Trump voter, the Trump voter is very suspicious of the deep state calling them and asking them who they're voting for. And it's all fake news to them, remember. So it is not an accurate count.
Michael Moore's correct in the sense that Trump voters are incredibly hard to poll. And President Trump is closing strong. Just today, I believe he's doing three rallies, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Tomorrow, he is barnstorming the state of Pennsylvania as if he's running a governor's race in Pennsylvania. I believe Pennsylvania will determine the entire election. And Pennsylvania has a same-day voting culture, and Pennsylvania does not release their early voting numbers like Florida does. Florida releases them hourly. I mean, we are just getting data in from Florida that we're able to kind of see a very accurate picture that are looking very, very good for President Trump. In Florida, there are 400,000 plus what we call super voters for Republicans that have yet to vote. These super voters are people that vote in every election you could possibly imagine. They are 4 out of 4 Republicans. They will show up no matter what. And they're probably waiting for election day. Now, a fear for Republicans would be if there are massive lines, a hurricane, which is planned to come next week. There is attempted voter suppression. And I don't use those terms lightly because they always accuse us of that. But remember, the Democrat playbook is to accuse us of what they are actually doing. CNN cut 9. They're actually very worried about too much Republican turnout in Florida. Let's play cut 9.
So there is information that the early in-person vote in at least Miami-Dade County, which Hillary Clinton won handily but lost the state, that the Republican turnout is far outpacing the Democratic turnout. And it is so concerning to the Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson, who covers that region, that she says she has been trying to sound the alarm to the Biden campaign.
James Carville was on television. I want to try to find this clip. Our team can try to dig it up. And I always get a kick out of James Carville. There's a couple Democrats like Michael Moore and Carville. And I actually thought Chris Matthews was part of this category. I mean, they're kind of jerks. I'm not saying they're good people, but they're really, really honest. I always enjoy them because they're on TV. They're going to tell you exactly how it is. They're going to be, they're not pathological pundits. What do I mean by that? They're not going to say, as everything is going awful, no, we're actually going to win. There's a huge surge here. So James Carville came out yesterday, and he said, someone's got to fix this fast. Okay, just little newsflash. Fixing it fast in 6 days, that's not how politics work, okay? Fixing it fast is like a six-month process. You probably should have fixed it fast when you saw Joe Biden warmly embracing the communist Bernie Sanders in former communist, for the people that have fled communist Cuba in Miami. And so James Carville came out, and he basically said that things need to get fixed very quickly in Miami, Florida. He's not the only one that is saying this. And so I also want to play cut here of how Donald Trump is closing the race. This is one of the best crafted sentences I've heard President Trump give on his closing message. This is how he's going to win swing voters. This is how he's going to win the remaining people that have still not made up their mind. I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Play cut 3.
If you vote for Biden, it means no kids in school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, and no 4th of July together. Other than that, you have a wonderful life.
Perfect argument. If you're still undecided at this moment, and polling shows that there's still a substantial amount of people that are undecided, 8 to 10% of people still have not made up their mind. I think it's even higher than that, because I think there is a Biden defection, and I don't think a lot of people have been Trump voters in the last couple months that are now gravitating away. Think about it. Who's mired in scandal right now? Joe Biden. Who's doing events? Donald Trump. I look at this, and this is just a huge sign for President Trump. That's a very positive thing. I'm going to the New York Times. There's not one story on the front page of the New York Times that is let's just call it a bombshell story that will bring down Trump's numbers. We kind of actually got a presidential race, everybody. We should actually be really thankful that we're 4 days out. We're actually talking about two candidates running up against each other. We're not talking about some Jeffrey Goldberg story. We're not talking about The Atlantic. President Trump is actually making an argument, and you're seeing it materialize into real early vote numbers. What's also very interesting is to look at the demographics of who exactly is voting. This is completely and totally contrarian to what the activist media is telling you. You look at, for example, North Carolina and Florida, where they publish early voting numbers with Democratic demographic data. All of the turnout is whiter, older, and less college educated than in 2016. And as Larry Schweikert says, this is supposedly Trump's sweet spot. A lot of the activist media are going to be playing catch up over the weekend. You started to see it in Politico last night, where they had the story that said Democrats sound the alarm around Miami-Dade County voting. The activist media, they're not in the grassroots like we are. And they also are very, very biased. We know this, but they're biased in the sense that they have an outcome that they want to see. So they are slow to the game. They are slow to actually analyze it and then publicize it. You're going to see a massive catch-up operation on the activist media's kind of articles this weekend. You are going to see on Sunday polls tightening, Trump closing strong. Guarantee it, because we're already seeing it. And they don't want to publish it too quickly, but they're also going to want to cover their tail a little bit. Because what is happening on the ground is Republicans are showing up in massive numbers in the rural areas. The suburbs are not as bad as we would have thought. But the other thing is this, there is a massive urban decay where the Democrats need to run up the score. They're not seeing it in Miami-Dade County. They're not seeing it in Phoenix. They're not seeing it in Charlotte from all available data. In fact, they are seeing a tapering effect in the Deep South where they needed to get their souls to the polls. They are seeing a fizzling out of the most fervent Democrats to the polls. And President Trump continually doing rallies, President Trump traveling the country and hitting the battleground states will only further energize his base and the Republican base to vote in high numbers. This has now become a turnout election, not a persuasion election. Let's go to Cut 11. Lifelong Democrat Maurice Davis says he is backing Trump, saying that the narrative about Trump is wrong and the Democrats are full of hate. Play Cut 11.
God use whoever he want to bring his people out of whatever the problem have to be. Right now, the narrative been spent. President Trump is full of hate. Let me tell you something. The Democrats is full of hate. I'm tired. I've been a Democrat. I am a Democrat all my life. 64 years. Last 4 years, I voted for Hillary Clinton. This year, I decided to go with President Trump.
There are millions of people that voted for Hillary in 2016 that have quietly, and some not so quietly, transitioned their support to President Donald Trump. Joe Biden is trying to make his closing argument to the American people. Let's play Cut 7 of Joe Biden making his closing argument. Play tape.
You know, the rapidly rising
I think that was from a couple months ago, but still, I don't think his closing argument has changed very much. If I was trying to create a set of circumstances that were favoring President Trump, I would have the predominant news coverage not had any sort of October surprise towards President Trump. I would try to have GDP numbers that are the best in the country, 33.1%. I would try to see if there could be revelations that Hunter Biden and associates were under current FBI investigation, which we now know. And I would also I'd see if Lil Wayne would be able to say something positive about President Trump. And that happened yesterday in a tweet that broke the internet, and the activist media completely ignored this. I mean, you want to talk about just a total silencing? I mean, I was getting push notifications about former Republicans that are voting for Trump on Apple News. Yet, don't you think Lil Wayne, who, for those of you that don't know who Lil Wayne is, he's a rapper and he's very well respected and kind of the top of that community. And he came out and said some very positive things against Trump. Some people call it an endorsement. It's pretty close to that. And he knew the backlash that he would get. He said this: just had a great meeting with @RealDonaldTrump at POTUS. Besides what he's done so far with criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. He listened to what we have to say today and assured he will get it done. That is bigger than a $100 million outside group advertising done by Joe Biden hitting Donald Trump in key battleground states. Remember, the path to Trump for Trump is high rural turnout, not losing the suburbs that bad and trying to replicate 2016 late breakers, and peeling away the Black, Hispanic, urban base of voters that the Democrats have always enjoyed. That is the path forward for President Trump. And you're starting to see this materialize in the polling. You're starting to see President Donald Trump have record high approval ratings in the Black community and the Hispanic community. I spoke in Miami, Florida last evening. We probably had 600 or 700 people there in a packed ballroom. We could have had more if it wasn't for the restrictions. And I'd say that 60 to 70% of that room was Hispanic. And they were enthused. They were fired up. And they were coming up to me and telling me their stories. My family fled communism from Venezuela. My family fled a form of socialism from Colombia, from Argentina. And we will not let it happen here. And this is a swing in the miss from the Biden campaign. They have taken the Latino and the Hispanic vote for granted. And their over-pandering to BLM Incorporated has done nothing but win them support from upper middle class white liberals. There is no data whatsoever to show that Joe Biden has increased his coalition support with Black or Hispanic voters, despite the massive BLM Incorporated racial reckoning moment that we've had in the last 6 months. The only people that are more Democrat now than they were back in June is upper middle class white liberals who were probably going to vote against Trump anyway. That's the only community that actually feels compelled to try to involve themselves in an American suicide. Hispanics support President Trump in record numbers. And if the numbers in Miami-Dade County continue, even at a percentage basis, if the numbers in Miami-Dade County are replicated in other counties across the country, urban counties, President Donald Trump will win re-election. And this entire race is really coming down to a collection of states. Arizona is looking increasingly good. North Carolina needs a little bit of work. We'll be in North Carolina this weekend, giving 6 speeches in a couple churches this weekend. And then it's all about Pennsylvania. President Trump needs an upper Midwest state to get 4 more years, either Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania. And the president is rightly focusing his attention on those states in the coming days. The Trafalgar Group has been putting out polls that show that Donald Trump is in a better position in Michigan and in Wisconsin and Florida than not just what polling reflects, but even better than 2016. The piece says, in 2016, months of national polls confidently showed Hillary Clinton ahead and set many Americans up for a shock on election night when the Electoral College tilted decisively in Trump's favor. Cap Tine, a Dutch economist who leads the UFC's Doorn Seif Center for Economics and Social Research, oversaw the USC Los Angeles Times poll that gave Trump a 3-point lead heading into Election Day, which Captain notes was wrong. Clinton won the popular vote by 2 points. Kahali, a Republican pollster with the Trafalgar Group, has pre-election surveys that showed Trump nudging out Clinton in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, North Carolina, all of which he won. They continue by saying that the polls are even worse this year than they were in 2016. They talk about the problems with polling. They say that they're diving deeper. They're able to identify a shy Trump voter, and they're able to find the, quote, Reagan Democrats. They say they are from the Midwest, Macomb County, Michigan, the home of the Reagan Democrats, and actually be able to identify them. By the way, all of this speculation will be ironed out when we start counting votes. And underneath all of this is the fact that Hunter Biden is under a current FBI investigation. I just did a little bit of a glance at every website, every major news website, and I have found zero coverage from any outlet, even some conservative outlets, that are detailing how Hunter Biden is under a current and active FBI investigation for money laundering. So the way the media works now is they look harder and further into anyone they do not like, and people that they do like, there is no journalism done whatsoever. By the way, real journalism could take down the Bidens in a week. If the New York Times and the New Yorker and the Huffington Post, they actually did their job like they have been going after Donald Trump pathologically in the last couple years, and they talk to witnesses, they talk to friends, they try to find documents, they would take down the Bidens in a week. They are the most fragile political dynasty in the history of American politics. Their corruption is so blatant, it is so public, it is so brazen. It would not be hard if some of these mainstream outlets started to put pressure. Now, mind you, my prediction is if Joe Biden wins the presidency, these activist media networks will then start to put the pressure on to make Kamala Harris president, because Joe Biden is insufficiently progressive for them. He is insufficiently radical. And Joe Biden might give some speeches about working with Republicans, and then the radicals at the New Yorker and the New York Times will then, they'll send the dogs out. And Joe Biden will then resign and say, you know, my role was really just to beat Trump. Here you go, Senator Harris, Vice President Harris. Now you are President of the United States. That should horrify everyone, what a Harris administration would do to our country. In fact, let's play cut 8 of Kamala Harris laughing when she gets any form of difficult questions. Brace yourself. It's hard to listen to. Play cut 8.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and yeah. medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, again? I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
No.
Okay.
It was a debate.
Can someone please keep her out of the White House? We just had to cut that entire thing off. I just told the team, cut this off. It's horrible. Our viewership just plummeted after that. It's just after you have to listen to Kamala Harris cackle and laugh for 35 seconds straight. And so she will be in charge if Joe Biden wins the presidency. I think people know this. And in the last coming days of this election, the question is, what is the story that each candidate is trying to tell the American people? President Donald Trump is able to talk about 33.1% GDP growth. President Donald Trump is able to talk about revitalizing the American economy, opening up our country, no more lockdowns, gatherings are okay, no national mask mandates, not to mention all the other cultural social issues that matter to people, being pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-Second Amendment. I was just in Miami, Florida, a Turning Point Action event, and these American Israelis came up to me that are American citizens that came from Israel, and they say that the Jews in Florida are going to be the reason why Donald Trump wins convincingly. They say moving the embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing Golan Heights, negotiating peace. They say these are traditional Democrats that are coming over in massive numbers to Donald Trump. And that was very encouraging to hear. And so, but what is the story that Joe Biden is trying to tell the American people? Joe Biden will win the White House if he wins. If he wins the White House, it'll be the most depressing narrative ever sold to the American public to win power. His argument is this: elect me and things are going to get awful. We're going to have a dark winter. We're going to have a lot of suffering. We're going to have a lot of pain. We're going to lock down again. And I'm going to raise your taxes. I'm going to pander to BLM Inc. I'm not going to do nothing about the indoctrination of your children, but just elect me because of how much you hate the other guy. That's his closing argument. President Donald Trump's argument is actually one of optimism. It's one of positivity. It's one of embracing the entrepreneurial frontier spirit of our country. And if I just look at this objectively, and I'm far from an objective observer, and I just look at who's actually making a better argument to the American people, Joe Biden's argument is terrible. I mean, his entire pathway to victory is that Donald Trump is awful. Don't vote for him. That is his argument. And if he wins, it will truly be a referendum based on the president. I am skeptical that you can win in an electoral college system while not answering questions directly from the press, being under a federal investigation for money laundering, while the economy just has a 33.1% GDP boost, and massive celebrities like Jack Nicklaus, Brett Favre, and Lil Wayne are all coming out and endorsing or saying positive things against your opponent. We like to convince ourselves that the race is baked, meaning it's already done. Nate Silver from 538 came out and he said, the race is over, 11% chance Trump has to win. This Atlantic piece that says, you know, you can rest easy, Trump's going to lose, all these sorts of things. But believe it or not, every one of these 17 rallies, let me say it again, every one of these 17 rallies that the president is about to do, not to mention the countless rallies that the vice president is going to do, each one of those can move tens of thousands of votes in the local area and nationally. They buy out cable television basically by having these nonstop rallies. The digital energy, the social media enthusiasm, people turning in their ballots, friends getting friends to go vote. So you have 17 individual hyper-targeted rallies in the key battleground states. Don't tell me that this race is done. This race is ongoing. So people say, who's going to win? Who's going to lose? It's still happening. People are still formulating. And according to public polling, the one part of polling I do believe that this number is actually higher, 8% of people are still undecided. What if Donald Trump wins 80% of the late breakers that are undecided? And as we have said before in this program, if you are still undecided of Biden versus Trump after all the endless amounts of garbage they've thrown at Trump, all the accusations, all of it, and you're like, I don't know, I still am kind of waiting to be won over. You're waiting for a reason to vote for President Trump. And President Trump is helping his cause by doing 17 rallies in the coming days. Nonstop media. Joe Biden's publicly declared schedule. We'll try and pull it. I don't know if he's even said what his schedule is. And some people say, well, the rallies don't really make that much of a difference. I completely disagree. You've probably never been to a rally. All those people will get their friends to vote. The entire local area starts talking about Trump as soon as Air Force One lands. Traffic stands still. Even people that don't like Trump are being there. They're taking pictures of Air Force One fly over their town. Even the people that aren't at the rally, they're watching on TV. They're listening to radio. They look at it in local media. As much as we try to convince ourselves in the digital age that things have changed, the good old retail campaigning of going into the states and the cities that matter and the counties that will turn the states, there is almost nothing more effective than that. And President Trump proved that in both 2016 and 2018. President Donald Trump is saying this, I might lose. I might not get the most amount of votes, but you will not outwork our movement. We will do 17 rallies. And we at Turning Point Action, we're going to go to North Carolina this weekend. We are given four speeches just in the churches in North Carolina. We are crisscrossing the country. And Joe Biden's closing campaign schedule is as follows. Today, he's in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. Why would you go to Minnesota, Joe Biden, if you think you had that shirt up? Saturday, he's in Michigan with Barack Obama. Sunday, he's in Philadelphia, one event. And Monday, he is barnstorming all four corners of Pennsylvania with Kamala, Doug, and Jill. I would do that if I was Joe Biden. And the fact that he's focusing on those states shows me that he thinks Arizona is a lost cause. And look at what state is missing from those four. Let me read this again. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden knows he's lost Florida. He's not visiting. And President Trump shouldn't give up on Florida. He's got to run up the score, same day voting. Joe Biden knows that Florida's done. Georgia's probably done. Texas is not happening. Iowa isn't happening. Joe Biden is trying to hold the blue wall. It's all about Pennsylvania, everybody, and maybe one of the upper Midwest states. If you live in Pennsylvania, I am begging you, please contact every one of your friends. Go peer-to-peer text message through your entire phone and get your anyone in your community to vote for Trump. It's all about Pennsylvania. Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, Biden has turned his back on those. His campaign says, no, we have an upper Midwest problem. People say, Charlie, what can I do to help Trump? Let me tell you what you can do. You can take out your phone and go through your phone book and peer-to-peer text message every single person in your phone a copy-paste message of why you're supporting Trump with your favorite clip that you think is the most persuasive. Empty your phone. It's modern-day peer-to-peer communication without ever having to leave your home. The tech companies can't censor this. The telecom companies can't censor it. You can go through your whole phone and contact thousands, I don't know how many people you have in your phone, of every person and saying, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I encourage you to do the same because of this, 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 and this. Imagine if every single Trump supporter peer-to-peer text messaged their entire phone. Imagine if just a thousand, I want you just to imagine this. On average, people have about 1,000 to 2,000 contacts in their phone. Let's say it's 1,000. And let's say 1,000 people peer-to-peer message and copy-paste in their phone to all their friends to 1,000 other people. That's 1,000,000 voter contacts like that. Instantaneously, from people that are most trusted. We are being outspent. We are being outgunned. We are being misrepresented in the media, and the stories that would benefit us at all are not even being covered. Let's play cut 20, and you'll hear exactly that from Greg Gutfeld. Play cut 20.
If it weren't a Biden but a Pence, this would flood the airwaves. We would have to sedate the entire CNN anchor team with elephant tranquilizers. But today, most journalists are Democrats and are forewarned. If you report on this story, you'll be helping Trump get reelected. So don't touch this story with a 10-foot pole, or in Hunter's case, a 10-foot stripper pole. It's the same thing with riots. Any honest reporting helps Trump, so don't do it. But if this story had implicated Trump, can you imagine? Well, you don't have to.
Greg Gutfeld is one of the smartest commentators out there. He's exactly right. Any honest reporting on this Hunter Biden story would actually bring Trump over the top. So you have to do it. You can do it. Stop complaining about the media and get the social media stuff's fine. How about you text all of your friends through peer-to-peer messaging and copy-pasting the story? They can't prevent that from happening. Let's go to cut 19, Joe Biden's closing message to Pennsylvania. Anyone that can tell me what he's saying here, the best answers, the best five answers, will win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Just email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Cut 19.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Play it again. Cut 19.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Oh, he could be your president, everybody, if we don't do our job. This is not a spectator sport. This weekend, contact at least 1,000 people through Facebook Messenger, through Instagram, through any way that you have to directly contact people. Take responsibility for this election, everybody. Take ownership for this election and for the country. It's not a spectator sport. It's time to get involved and engaged in this clash, in this battle. The next couple days, you're going to be seeing a lot of stories all of a sudden talking about this, the polls tightening. You're going to see a lot of closing speeches from President Trump. You're going to see Joe Biden at a pumpkin farm saying, vote for me, and whatever that was. I couldn't quite make sense of that. The question shouldn't be what's happening on the screen. The question is, what are you doing? And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. We have given, on average, 4 speeches a day in the last 30 days. We've crisscrossed the country, visiting over 25 states, doing 2 podcasts a day, 2 hours of radio a day. At Turning Point Action, we have done peer-to-peer text messaging to millions of people. We are up with hundreds of thousands of dollars in ads for the president. We have knocked on tens of thousands of doors. We've registered thousands of voters. That's what we are doing. When I give you commentary, I'm not just saying it from the bleachers. We are in the fight, and I encourage all of you right now to do something right now. If you are compelled and convicted, then go empty your phone and peer-to-peer text everyone. Go knock on your neighbor's doors. Go do something tangible and real that will result in a victory on Tuesday evening. Because if Joe Biden wins, you will see the merge of the biggest corporations and trillionaires with our government that will crush the little guy in our country. It's a republic, everybody, if we can keep it. I'm going to be busting my tail, not sleeping this weekend. We're in Wisconsin. We're in North Carolina. We're crisscrossing the country. It's time to save our country. Do something about it. God bless you, Monday. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved, start a college or high school chapter, tpusa.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you text all of your friends, empty your contact list for Trump. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. Our values, our security, and our future are on the ballot. Every American deserves to have their voice heard and their vote counted. So visit yourvote2020.org to find your polling location. Get to the polls, cast your ballot. Visit yourvote2020.org because your voice, your values, your vote have never been more important. Paid for by America First Policies, Inc.